You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Kingston, Ontario since 1922. Find and follow us on Instagram at CFRC Music. Coming up in this special community takeover of our airwaves, we're talking to Greg Tilson, co-artistic director of Skeleton Park Arts Fest. SPAF is a grassroots community organization that engages in collective care by fostering diverse cultural activities that are free, collaborative, and accessible to all. Their mission is to create opportunities for making art and being creative together. SPAF supports a sense of enjoyment and civic belonging for diverse communities in Cataraqui, Kingston, with a particular focus on the Skeleton Park neighborhood. Skeleton Park Arts Festival is a free, grassroots, multidisciplinary art experience that happens annually in Kingston on the summer solstice weekend. You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM, and this afternoon for our community takeover of the airwaves, I have Greg Tilson here from Skeleton Park Arts Festival. Greg, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Ara.
Skeleton Park Arts Festival, obviously beloved to a core community in Kingston. But if there are people who aren't familiar with it, can you give people a Cole's Notes of what SPAF is about and what they can expect there?
For sure. I mean, the festival is coming the weekend of June 19th to 21st. And yeah, for someone that's just, you know, maybe visiting Cataraqui, Kingston, or just hasn't been to the festival, we're pretty easy to find. We're right downtown, a couple blocks north of Princess Street downtown. If you hang a left on Clergy and head north for a couple of blocks, you'll find us for sure. And you know, it's going to be a great weekend. That the promenade is on that weekend, so like on the Saturday, for example, Princess Street will be closed. And I know you're helping us out with some of the Sydenham Street stage performances. Yeah, people will just find an organization that is very grassroots. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been doing this for, last year was our 20th anniversary, and it just started with neighborhood people, you know, on the heels of this neighborhood solstice picnic. Saying solstice picnic probably will help people understand the type of vibe it is, you know, but it's been cool, you know, like over the years, the Skeleton Park neighborhood, which is, you know, kind of Princess to Concession and like the river and over Division, like that kind of neighborhood, like it's always been such a vibrant neighborhood full of artists. And so the festival, which is like McBurney Park, also known as Skeleton Park, because it has a history of as a graveyard. It just has so much vitality, and it really kind of celebrates the neighborhood. So I think people will realize, you know, it's free. It's a great opportunity to meet all kinds of artists in the neighborhood, but it's also an opportunity to like get a sense of how amazing the Kingston art scene is too.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations. You're 21
now. I know. We're old.
It's wild. Here at CFRC, we have some of the original posters for Skeleton Park kicking around offices. And it's been really fantastic to see the growth and the development of the festival over the years. Not to get too deeply into it, but I know there's certainly been evolutions throughout the festival in terms of how it's grown, how it's changed, how it's recalibrated.
Yeah.
Maybe after COVID, I know a lot of festivals adjusted there. What's changed and what stayed the same?
I love that question. And just as you were saying, you know, when you were describing that, the evolution, like it has been this ebb and flow. And, you know, like I said, it started on the heels of the McBurney Park Neighborhood Association, you know, doing their solstice picnic. And I think it's been really important to stay true to that. We have grown, and I feel like there have been times where we grew too much. You know, there was a period of time, when was that? The late 90s? No, it wasn't the late 90s. That would make us older than 20 years. It was in the early 2000s where it became under the umbrella of the Arts Council. And we grew into this like 10-day festival that was kind of sprawling all over the city, which was awesome. You know, it was a great moment of growth. But I think it's been important, and the neighbors have helped us with this, just to remember, like, this is about celebrating the neighborhood and the neighborhood artists. I think we've been, you know, continuing to walk that line of getting too big, but also like staying intimate. It's about, you know, connections and relationships and getting to know the artists, and the neighborhood keeps us in check. You know, it doesn't let us go corporate, which we don't want to. Keeps everything free, keeps everything accessible. Some of the ways we've, I think, evolved is, like you said, you mentioned COVID. Fortunately, unlike a lot of organizations, larger arts organizations, or maybe brick and mortar arts and organizations like a theater, for example, we have all this flexibility. We're scrappy, you know, we can pivot, we can be flexible according to the needs of who we serve, you know, namely the surrounding Skeleton Park neighborhood and artists. And so I think that has been really helpful. But during COVID, we were able to pivot, and we weren't allowed to do in-person programming for a period of time for safety reasons, of course. And so we started a newspaper. We were able to do some in-person programming with this amazing initiative called Next Door in partnership with the Union Gallery, where we had public art on people's front lawns and in windows. And, you know, you could walk around. That was hugely successful. And, you know, that has kind of taken off in different directions in terms of how we still continue to do temporary public art installations. And yeah, for again, getting back to people who don't really understand what SPAF, Skeleton Park Arts Festival, is, you picture just us doing things differently. We're not on a traditional stage. We're in alleyways and, you know, people's front porches and backyards and parks, of course. So yeah, it has been a lot of evolution, but like all good organizations, I think we're able to stay true to like the roots of it and, you know, the original mission and mandate.
I mean, you don't have 21 festivals if you're not listening to and working with the audiences that you're trying to attract. It's not just music. There's so much more than that. I wonder if you can talk about some of the programming, some of the different sort of activity areas that you could find throughout the park. And then we can talk about the music as well.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it is the roots of it going back to 2005. That was the first year, not the 90s, 2005. It did kind of start off primarily as a music festival, but now it's kind of grown and evolved to multi-arts. So all kinds of disciplinary. We do this Solstice Festival. That's our big event in June. Always the closest weekend to the summer solstice. So this great kind of kickoff to summer for this city. But yeah, like throughout the year, we're doing pop-up performances and galleries and all kinds of different programming. But at the festival, I've got the program here in front of me. You can look at it on our website, skeletonparkartsfest.ca, or on our socials. And by the way, the artwork is by this star local visual artist named Abby Nowakowski, and she is on fire right now. Women's Arts Festival design, Hillside Festival design. She's an inspiration to work with.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous poster. I mean, the artwork every year is fantastic, and I love that you engage different artists. You're not using the same person over.
Yes, right. And I mean, that gets back to the neighborhood. You know, it's just full of graphic designers and illustrators, and we really benefit from that with the newspaper too. This program, you know, at a glance, you see both mornings of June 20th and 21st, Birdbone Theater, which there's some roots at CFRC with those folks. Alex, one of the artists in Birdbone, was, I think, the station manager at one time here at CFRC.
Business manager.
You know, so theater, right? Children's programming. They're also talented musicians at 2 o'clock on both days. And again, this is one that we're lucky to have you helping us out with in your leadership, Ara. Intercomplementary Journeys, which is Aaron Ball and Maxime Beauregard, and they're doing this aerial hoop performance art right on the grass in front of the main stage, kind of by Balaclava Street there in Skeleton Park. And they are just incredibly talented artists. They're disabled artists, and they're also really great advocates for deaf and disabled artists. They're teaching us a lot. We're learning a lot about how to become a more accessible festival and welcoming festival. And, you know, they're leaders nationally at that level with that kind of advocacy work. There's always live music, yoga, and there's a craft fair. So, like, artisans are a big part of Skeleton Park Arts Festival, and we're lucky to collaborate. I've always said, like, some of the best things that we do are always in partnership with someone else. And so the Fat Goose Craft Fair, they do a Christmas one, and now they do the summer one in Skeleton Park, really raising the bar on the quality of craft artisan there. There's a little glimpse. Abby's work is going to be throughout the park, Abby Nowakowski. There's going to be this cool installation in the southeast corner of the park called Circus of Dreams, and it's a studio artist from the Heart Center who have recently moved out to 1200 Princess Street. Heart Center, Inclusive Arts for All Abilities, are going to do a really cool exhibition. So I guess maybe I should also mention the Department of Illumination.
This was one I was going to ask you about, because we've had Boxtopia before.
They are maybe like the creators of Boxtopia. It's so funny. Some of the things that we've experienced that have started in Skeleton Park, like Matt Salton from Reelout will tell you this amazing story of drag queen story time. Reelout started in Skeleton Park. And then it got copyrighted by someone else.
Yeah, you know? New York took it over, but it started here.
So, you know, Boxtopia, I think it was previously called Cardboardia Village. These were original ideas. Like Krista Dalby, she was running this arts organization called Small Pond, but it's now called Department of Illumination in the county. These were her ideas, right? And I think a similar kind of thing happened. They just took off at other festivals. But anyway, in the southwest corner of the park, this is where you want to go with your families, with your kids. If you really want to get engaged with like hands-on artwork, they're going to be doing something similar to like a lot of cardboard art. And they create these structures. It's often just kind of like a village, and they're kind of taking Abby's theme of animals and gardening and that kind of thing. So yeah, it's always like a really fun way to like get your hands covered in paint and have fun while you're taking a break from the live music.
Speaking of live music, yeah. As you mentioned, it's how the festival started. And I think Skull and Park's always done a really excellent job of balancing, highlighting emerging artists and artists from Kingston and artists from genres that you wouldn't necessarily hear on stage.
Yeah.
Women artists as well. I know that's something that you've
been
acknowledged for in the past.
Well, and I have to tell you, Ara, this year, it was such a pleasant surprise. And this is, I always feel, when we can really pat ourselves on the back, because Saul Castaneda and myself were the co-artistic directors. And we just kind of looked at the program when we were done and we're like, oh my God, this is all women. You know, like women and gender diverse artists. And it wasn't intentional. I'm always like, okay, that is a good sign.
Yeah.
When it wasn't intentional at all.
Yeah, I've had experiences working in festivals and programming and people asking me, well, like, how do you reach these minimums? It is not hard to find these artists.
Yeah, these are our friends.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're looking for good artists in general, those things often intersect.
Glad you mentioned that, like, emerging and established artists, because that's been central. And, you know, as you say, you know, having done this for 20 years, it's also like aligned with the evolution of the local music scene, you know, like just the venues, like what other people have been offering, like Homegrown kind of came on, Homegrown Festival, which people should check out every May. It's like all local artists. When they emerged, that kind of took the pressure off a little bit, and we could do more of this idea of what you were alluding to, where you have a really well-known act on the main stage that draws everybody. And then, you know, you have a local emerging artist right before them. So they get introduced to all this new audience. Like, that's where it's at.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. Opening acts are some of the most pleasant surprises you will have. And festivals are an amazing way to discover those artists. Do you want to talk about some of the lineup for this year? Who are you really excited about?
So just before we started the interview, you know, we were talking about the OS project. That's just OS project. And it's kind of this sprawling collective, which I have a personal like attraction to. I love these like whole communities of artists or musicians. You know, how are they making this happen? But Teyr Frost, man, he's been part of this festival from day one, and he's this nationally renowned fiddle player on Wolf Island, multi-instrumentalist though, and just a real leader in the arts community. And he's formed this collective. I hope, you know, your listeners will get a chance to hear the OS project, recorded with Jason Mercer on the island. You know, all the who's of the music scene, you know, Chris Brown on keys, or James Taylor on electric guitar, or Liam Cole on drum. If you want to come to dance at Skelton Park, you know, take your shoes off on the grass and just like bust a move for whatever, 45 minutes, come at 3 o'clock on Sunday, June 21st to see OS Project. And that would be, you know, a real chance to see some local musicians shine. But in terms of who I'm excited about, or who all the volunteers, you know, we have over 100 volunteers, backed by popular demand at 5 o'clock on Saturday, June 20th, is Witch Prophet. They really knocked it out of the park the last time they were here. She's an Ethiopian jazz hip hop singer based in Toronto. And so she's got her crew coming, you know, like there's a DJ and people love her, you know. So like, it was like, when is Witch Prop coming back? Like, this was a few years ago. People are really excited to see her again. Getting back to the spirit of the festival, if you look at 6 o'clock on Saturday, June 20th, Raw Taiko. Raw stands for Raging Asian Women.
I love that. I was looking it up. I'm like, that's amazing.
Yeah. And so it's, again, a collective where there's a theme forming here, but of really talented taiko drummers, Japanese ancient drumming tradition. They kind of do things differently. They really mix up their approach to that traditional art form. And the cool thing about it is it's going to be in collaboration with a local taiko drummer. Kyoko Ogoda is kind of helping to bring them here, and she knows them. She's always collaborating. She started her own taiko organization here in Kingston called King's Dawn. Once again, it's all about the partnerships. And so under Kyoko's leadership, we were able to book this renowned taiko drumming group out of Toronto.
I kind of want to go back to something you said, because you were mentioning you and Soul.
Yeah.
Getting back to that theme of evolution. So Soul has been your media coordinator?
Yeah, so Saul approached us. Like, she arrived in Kingston several years ago from Mexico, where she was doing tons of cultural programming. She was a journalist and she was part of our arts organizations there. And she got started volunteering, and we were blown away by her skill set, and we were able to offer her a contract doing our communications. She's just been this bright, shining light for the organization, volunteering a ton of her time. Like, so much volunteering. It's been this really special opportunity for me to be able just to step back. And as you've seen, like, the succession of an arts organization can be so challenging. You just don't realize how much that institutional memory can be locked inside one brain, and it can be really problematic. And so to have someone like Saul that has just taken things by the reins and just gone for it in a very short amount of time, I could easily leave Kingston in June and she would run the festival, which is pretty incredible. And so the board of directors, you know, our president's Jill Glatt, they're working with Saul to have this smooth transition this year, where she moves into the leadership position of the organization, and we can establish this contract as a well-supported staff person to lead our organization with the festival in particular. I'm going to stick around and do other things, do other projects. Of course, the way we benefit here is we're bringing in this woman from Mexico who is going to bring all kinds of new ideas and new perspectives. She's connected to all kinds of different communities that I'm not connected to, and is going to bring so much more to the table and just be a voice that is needed to add some spark, add some newness and new energy.
I'm glad to hear you're not gone.
No. I love this. And like I said, the festival is so flexible. It's allowing me just to shift my energy to other projects. The thing that I'm passionate about right now is affordable artist housing. So that's what I'm going to work on.
Yeah. I've had some conversations. I know that's something like Sadiqa DeMeyer has spoken out on before. I also live in Skelton Park. Skelton Park is an area that attracts a lot of artists, but the more attractive a neighborhood gets, the more expensive it can get to live there.
I feel like it's just kind of this full circle moment of 20 years where a lot of the organizers 20 years ago, we were all working at the Sleepless Goat Cafe together, that workers' co-op. And I remember people saying, whatever you do, don't move north of Princess Street. I was like, whatever, that's where all the cool artists are. And so those roots, artist-run organization, celebrating that. And unfortunately, we see it time and time again, like that led to the gentrification and not affordability for artists to do their work and to live here. And so we're continuing to try to reserve space again. And there's some great opportunities in our neighborhood to say for artists, we can still provide space that's affordable so you can still do your work and contribute to what has been created here.
As that develops, I'd love to have you on to talk about that specifically.
Oh yeah, I would love that.
Speaking of affordability, as you mentioned before, this is a completely free festival.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty small team of staff members and a huge contingent of volunteers.
Yeah.
I imagine it's not inexpensive to run. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if you could just tell listeners, yes, it's free and there's no obligation, but if they want to support what you're doing, support the artists that you're able to bring and the programming that you're able to do, both at the festival and year round, how do they do so?
Thanks, Ara. I appreciate you sending out that reminder. I mean, it's just been a core part of our mandate from day one, just to keep things free. Getting back to that, the history of the neighborhood, there's a lot of folks in various pockets of the neighborhood that just don't have the same access to the arts that other people do. And so free means more welcoming for more people having access to participate in the arts in Kingston. And we rely heavily on grants. You know, shout out to all the big funders that help us. Like, the City of Kingston Arts Fund has just been there always, and they're stepping it up with this new festival stream of funding, mm-hmm. which is starting this year. So City of Kingston, Kingston Arts Council, they are definitely a backbone to how we make this happen, as are the Canada Council for the Arts and the Ministry of Heritage. There's this program called Building Community Through Arts and Heritage, which is just a perfect fit for what we do. It's like we wrote that grant. I find what has been really helpful is for people just to go click the donate button on skeletonparkartsfest.ca. It takes you to Canada Helps. We're a charitable organization, and the cool thing about it is you can just sign up for like $5 a month, and that organization will get you your tax receipt and you don't have to think about it. And for us, when we see those monthly donations, some people donate $5 a month, other people donate $100 a month, and you don't have to. You can do a one-off donation, but it's just for me and Saul, who are trying to figure out our budget, when we see that regular revenue stream, it really helps us plan, because it can be really stressful to, you know, try to be booking artists or plan production and not really knowing whether a grant's going to come in. You can also delegate your donation to a specific project. Say you're a big reader of the Skeleton Press newspaper. You can say, well, I want my money go towards supporting that newspaper. So that is my recommendation, is if you enjoy the festival, you enjoy the program we do year-round, take a look at that charitable site, Canada Helps, and look up Skeleton Park Arts Festival and just consider something modest. But if it's monthly, that really helps us. And then, of course, you can drop some cash in the bucket, but who carries cash anymore?
You do, however, have some very compelling collectors.
Yeah, it's kind of been our best fundraising campaign ever, was just like five-year-olds with colorful watering cans, like walking around, and they make a ton of money, more than I ever would. Like I said, partners and sponsors and grants, that kind of individual support is the most meaningful, mm-hmm. You know? It's a real community arts organization that's supported by the people that live here.
If people have more time than funds to give, what kind of volunteer opportunities are there?
Jill Glad, our president, she's an artist, she's a teacher. I don't know how she does it, but she also coordinates all our volunteers, over 100 volunteers. If you go to the website and click volunteering, there's a JOT form that tells you all the possibilities. Like maybe you want to help out at the main stage, or maybe you want to help out with this initiative that we have that has become incredibly way more famous than any of the artists, this waste diversion to create a garbage-free festival. And people go nuts over that. Gabby D is the lead on that. She also works at the Memorial Center, and you probably see her washing dishes every weekend. There's just people that are so invested in these specific components of what we do, and that one she's famous for, because despite thousands of people coming to this weekend festival, like literally one bag of garbage is created at the end of the festival because of recycling and compost, waste diversion. There's all kinds of different ways you can volunteer according to what interests you or what you enjoy the most. And then, of course, there's things you can do all year round. Some of them are paid, you know, like if you're a writer or if you like to draw, or the Skeleton Press pays market rates for those things. So I think there's definitely something for everybody. We're recruiting new board of directors. If you're into coming to meetings and organizing budgets and that kind of thing, then, you know, I think one of the ways that we've really excelled as an organization is having a highly, highly skilled and diverse board of directors. You can go to the website to see who's presently sitting on the board, and we'd definitely be interested in bringing more skills to that group.
So lots of different ways to get involved, some big, some small.
There are like literally volunteer positions where you just hang out backstage with the artists. Yeah. If you're a hospitable person, yeah, like hanging out with artists.
Did you want to just mention your social media?
Yeah, for sure. I think Skeleton Park Arts Fest is the Instagram handles, and that seems to be the most popular. There is Skeleton Park Arts Fest Facebook and SkeletonParkArtsFest.ca website. You can also sign up for an electronic newsletter. That's like an effective way of really getting the details, never missing anything that we do. And then get your hands on the Skeleton Press. It's this free 34-page newspaper that's written by local artists and illustrated local artists and local stories and arts and politics themes. And the back page of it is the program. And so it's delivered to over 6,000 people by Canada Post in the Skeleton Park neighborhood, but you can also get your hands on it at Novel Idea or Kingston Community Credit Union or the Elm Cafe or churches and schools and that kind of thing. Like, you'll see it as we get into the first week of June. Get your hands on one. There's an article on our headliner, Hannah Georges, who, by the way, has just started her own festival in Belleville.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's called A Beautiful View. Local filmmaker Jay Madaw wrote a story about Hannah Georges. So you can kind of get an intimate kind of take on what Hannah Georges is all about. And she's the last act on Saturday, June 20th, on the main stage of Skeleton Park at 7:30 p.m.
If you've been listening to and enjoying the music that's been playing throughout today's program, it is all artists that are playing at Skeleton Park. It's not all the artists, it's all the artists we had room for in the program. Any of the songs that we've been listening to that you wanted to highlight, maybe some of the artists we haven't mentioned already?
Oh yeah, cool. I mean, getting back to the partnerships, we always work with Centre Culturel Frontenac, the French Cultural Center. They help pay artist fees for French artists. And so this classic Quebecois trio, Janticorum, they're really wonderful musicians, kind of fiddle, banjo based, and yeah, that traditional Quebecois sound. And so they'll be on the Saturday morning. Also, they'll be part of the square dance band. If you want to dance and swing your partner, Janticorum will be backing up the callers for the square dance. It's one of the most popular traditions in the park, I would say. You know, 1 o'clock on Saturday, June 20th, you just see this dust up in front of the main stage of people following the calls of the square dance. Another partner that has worked with us in recent years is Lodgepole Arts on Wolf Island. And Terry Lynn Brennan is a wonderful leader in the Indigenous communities here, and their organization, Lodgepole, is generous enough to help cover the fees of Wyatt C. Lewis, who is performing just before local celebrity Clayway Brackenberry Piner, who is the last act on Sunday. Wyatt C. Lewis is a musician out of Treaty 7, Calgary. They've got this really beautiful kind of rootsy folk thing going on, and it'll be just a beautiful way to kind of start to wrap up the festival on that Sunday afternoon, thanks to Lodgepole.
Bring the energy back to that calm to prepare yourself for the evening.
Exactly.
After.
There's certain moments in Skeldon Park that continue to be just kind of magical. Like on the Saturday night, because it's the longest day of the year, the last act is just at dusk. And as the sun goes down, like the park literally glows. Everything's glowing. But yeah, you're right. On that Sunday afternoon, you know, everyone's just so relaxed, a little sleepy from the full festival, and the vibe is wonderful. Like, everyone is just kind of more open to each other and open to the music. So yeah, Wyatt C. Lewis is going to nail that vibe for sure.
We're getting near the end here. Just to recap, so Skeleton Park Arts Festival, two full days are June 20th and 21st. It's rain or shine.
Yes.
So bring your umbrella, bring your sunscreen, bring your bug spray, bring your dancing shoes.
Good point.
You always have some nice food vendors if people get peckish.
Definitely.
As you mentioned, amazing artisans with Fat Goose Craft Fair area. And there's always merchandise as well. So if you want to support artists.
Ironclad Graphics is going to do all the merch and t-shirts, which I think are going to sell out this year because it's all of Abby Nowakowski's work.
Anything else you want to say, Greg?
We're always learning, right? So I feel like there's this amazing opportunity this year and you're helping us with this. By the way, what a treat to talk to another arts organizer. Thanks for doing this. It's so easy to chat about all this with you because you get it all.
I could talk to you for like 2 hours.
Yeah.
And there's probably another hour of questions I have for you, but we're trying to keep it compact.
Yeah, I should just be interviewing you. But yeah, I think that the opportunity for learning this year is definitely the accessibility piece. You know, I had this great opportunity to do training with this organization called Creative Connector. Look it up. It's a national organization supporting deaf and disabled artists. And Lindsay Fisher, who's this renowned, born and raised in Kingston, she lives in the neighborhood. She is the founder and director of this organization. And so I did a lot of training on that. The Heart Center, who I mentioned, Inclusive Arts for All Abilities, they're providing training. And then, like I said, Aaron Ball and Maxine Beauregard from Intercomplementary Journeys. Just all of these resources that are just helping SPAF get our act together to just take more care and to provide more resources and training for volunteers and knowledge. You know, it's been a huge learning curve for me. I recommend doing this training to any arts organization or any artists who are thinking about this kind of topic, because it's so rewarding just to move in a direction that creates a more welcoming environment. And, it takes work. Often it takes money, but it also just takes resources. And we're lucky that we're connected with so many people that are like literally experts at a national level on how to increase accessibility. So yeah, I'll just maybe leave it with that. You know, we've been around for 20 years, but we're still learning a ton and still evolving. And so that's one to keep an eye out to see how we're doing with improving in that area.
Well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Ara.
And I'm looking forward to the festival.
Me too. All right. I'll see you in the park.
Yeah.
Sign up now to take over CFRC's airwaves yourself. CFRC 101.9 FM invites all Queen's University student groups and Kingston community organizations to take over our airwaves. Join us on air for an hour to talk about your student group or community organization, and also present your own playlist of fun music chosen by your team. This is a great opportunity to talk about what your group does, how others can get involved or provide support, any big events your group has coming up, and how to keep up with the latest news about your group. Apply by visiting cfrc.ca/contact and selecting Apply for a Club Community Takeover. This project is made possible through the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Radio Meters program.